Father God, we give thanks for the fellowship and for the friends and family that we have here at Wellspring Church. Lord, we give thanks to you for all of those who have served and are serving to provide freedom for our country. We ask that the world leaders turn to you, Lord, that they submit to you so that this world may be more at peace. We ask that you be with the Mosaic Board as they move forward, making decisions for the whole conference, Lord. May your will be done. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds to this worship time this morning. We have been blessed by the songs and the sharing so far. You are in this house, Lord. You are in this space. And for that, we give thanks. In your name, amen. This morning we're going to read from the Bible, so if you would get your Bible out, we're going to start with Psalm 1. I was going back and forth in the Psalms this week and just couldn't, it took a long time to finalize what I'm going to pick out and read upon, but I found Psalm 1 really beautiful in that we receive favor from God and we receive his blessings. And all we need to do is rejoice and delight in his love. It's a gift. We're going to be reading about a tree. It's a gift to be that tree with the strong roots and with the ability to care for others and to bless others. We are blessed to be his people. So let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 1 and we will read together. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This week has been a unique week. Totally, I think every day, the message was dropped upon me that I am not in control. I really needed to turn to God, and perhaps not recognizing right away what I was going to preach about gave me the opportunity also to continue to turn to God. So my nose was in my Bible frequently this week. My mother was very ill, as was my father. So my brother decided to take my father, who seemed to have me, Dr. Dabko, sinus infection. My brother took him to the quick, we call them doc in a box, the quick care, urgent care. We call them doc in a box. So my brother took my dad. At the same time, my mother, who has Parkinson's, and we have to really be careful with her medicines, was really suffering with just almost the same symptoms, but a little bit worse. So I decided that I would take her to the emergency room. It was pretty empty when we got there. But the emergency room quickly filled up. They did take her back, blood work, heart check, chest x-ray, belly x-ray, and we proceeded to sit. And I would say, you know what, how long are we here? My mother couldn't figure things out at that point. We were about 2 hours in and she was trying to figure, you know, she didn't really know why she was there. She did not have COVID. We knew that. So we're waiting and this gentleman came in with his wife and they're sitting and he got very, very angry and was yelling at the women in the office. And then the security people came out to handle them and I'm trying, Mom, let's move over here away from that and let's go outside for a walk. And so, but when we went back in, we noticed that his wife was taken. And when she came out, she said, oh, all of that for nothing, which praise God, it wasn't what they thought it had been. But then I was starting to think, maybe I should go up there and yell. Maybe I should go let them know my mother isn't doing very well. And we prayed, and I prayed over my mother just to hang in there to make sure that we could get her checked. 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Always they were saying to me, you're next, but the ambulance is just coming, and they always take the ambulances first. So at 6 hours, we had all of her test results in the portal, and my sister and my brother were like, nothing's showing to be really bad. Why don't you just come home? She'll probably be more comfortable. She just was kind of sunken into her chair and very weak at that point. Well, but I'm making this big decision, right? I don't want to hurt my mom in any way. And so I took her to a doc in the box. I took her to urgent care, the one that my brother took my dad. And that doctor refused to see her, which I think is a little bit illegal. But I thought, now I could say, you have to care for her. And I could have like yelled at her the way that other gentlemen had done. And I just thought, take a deep breath and prayed over my mom. And we quietly left and we took her home. And she just wanted to crawl into her bed and get under her blankets. Well, that night, in my mind, I'm like, I made a really big decision. And so I would hear her coughing, and then she'd stop coughing. And I'd go over, and I'd just check on them, and then I'd go back to bed, and then I'd go back. So it was a sleepless night for me, but she did well. And the next day, I got to take her to her family doctor. But it was scary moments. It was scary moments, and I felt sad for my mom, and then I felt angry, and all of these emotions. And I just found, am I supposed to be feeling this way? How much do I trust God? Am I praying enough? And you know, all that comes into play when you are a Christian and trying to get through this world. I also had the time, there were several children that were brought in who were very sick, and in my mind, I just was praying for their health as well. And of course, the children were taken first. But it was a very trying week for us to get through. So, yeah, the next day, Daddy wanted to go and vote. Well, I'm like a wet washcloth because I was up peeking on them all night. And I didn't really want to take him to vote. And he's 86, and it means so much to him. I said, okay, I'm going to push a little bit harder to get through this. And I took him to vote. He sat in the car till I got up in line. I waited a half an hour in line. And the people were so pleasant around me and so in the sunshine, just laughing and jovial. And half of my neighborhood was there. And they all stopped by and gave me a hug and were chatting. And I'm like feeling lighter and lighter as I'm standing in line. And when I went to get my dad, he had his Navy cap on. And people were saying, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. And for my dad, that meant the world. It just was an amazing experience. And just the low of one day and the sleepiness of not getting through the night to the joy of standing in a voting line was truly amazing. And I kept going back to the Bible and just a very prayerful week. And we made it through. I took Dad to breakfast afterwards. And I just so enjoyed spending time with him and sharing about his time in the service and sharing about what he was interested in his philosophies on politics. But this week was a struggle. This week was a struggle, and I just am energized by the goodness of people. And I'm going to hold that close to my heart rather than thinking about what was going on in the hospital. That was sad, and I think our medical workers are understaffed, and they need our prayer. They need our prayer to keep on going. Heavy stuff for them. Heavy stuff for them. So those that depend upon the Lord will be blessed. Amen. God is Lord of this earth, and He is King of kings. He is in control of our lives. Push through. Don't feel frustrated or angry. Don't start yelling at people. Push through His way. Rely on God. As I studied Psalms 1 and 2, the author, who is unknown, is amazed that the culture and the government at that time were truly ignoring God. Perhaps they felt that there were too many rules and regulations to follow God. Perhaps the leaders were enjoying their own power a bit too much. They did not take the time to recognize the need for God's laws and God's grace. We choose our ways. We choose our ways. We choose to see movies that aren't very healthy for us. We choose to take that extra drink of an alcoholic beverage when we know we shouldn't. We choose to gossip, to put someone down, to speed while driving, to eat that extra dessert. We choose to reach out to someone who needs a friend. We choose to give an offering, to take a new job, to move on to a new home. We get to choose our ways. Have you ever stopped to think that your choice could affect generations to come? When you think about your parents and your grandparents and what they've gone through and the choices they've made, do you see how it has affected generations to come? And I believe people are still praying for things that happened in the past, that people can resolve situations or feel extra joy because of their situation. Like, prayers are still continuing for choices that have been made in the past for today's world. We had the opportunity, of course, this week to watch the movie Band of Brothers, which is about, it's a World War II movie, based on someone's biography. And we wondered about all those decisions those men and women made. And then we found ourselves wondering about the people that made the decisions to starve and to kill the Jewish people, the people of in the margins, living in the margins. We decided that we would never really understand the agony and the sadness of that world, and that we would turn to thankfulness for the people who fought to stay alive, who fought to help others in the camps, who fought against such an evil regime. Those that lean into God's grace are given salvation. They are washed by his blood. God's children are given an opportunity to repent. We are to be held responsible to work out his plan. We will be blessed when we make choices of love, of peace, and of serving others. I'm going to read Psalm 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. There was rebellion then against God's laws, and there is rebellion now. There are rebellions against the government, and there are religious rebellions occurring now. Back then, people wanted to change God's rules. And now, people are trying to change God's rules. People do not want to hear of the things that they are doing wrong. The rules of the church are becoming too difficult, as it was back then. It's becoming too difficult for many people of this world. And the author is having a hard time imagining anyone thinking that they are more powerful than God. If I get a little louder, will it make a difference? If I throw curse words into my conversation, will it make a difference? If I start talking about people behind their backs, will it make a difference? All of these things are not honoring God. The Lord and his anointed will always, always overcome plots against them. I'm sure that God was wondering and is wondering, who do they think they are? I am sure he continues to wonder as people continue to rebel against Jesus today. Some colleges in the United States will not allow people to come and share about Jesus, but they will allow people to come and share about other faiths. Some are choosing to think that the LGBTQIA lifestyle, because they are with that and understand that and think there is nothing wrong with that, they in turn have made it sound like all Christians are hateful people because we don't understand that and we don't agree with that. They feel Christians are haters. Christians walk as Jesus walked. We'll be against sin, but not the person. Christians walk as Jesus walked. Starting at verse 4 in Psalm 2, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them with his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Knowing that the nations had no reason to feel rage against God, they looked for strength in teaming up with others to oppose him. God remained in perfect peace and assurance. Theologian Morgan shared, the mocking laughter of God in the comfort of all those who love righteousness. It is the laughter of the might of holiness. It is the laughter of the strength of love. God does not exult over suffering of sinning men. He does hold in disdain all the proud boastings and violence of such as seek to prevent his accomplishment of his will. It is with love and mercy that God continues to speak words of warning to those who defy and rebel against his word. He let the people know through his word. Follow and lean in to God. These verses speak to Jesus. God wants the people to know that his king will be greater than all of them. Jesus is referred to as his son, the second person of the Trinity. And they are told that his son will rule over all nations. John 5, 22 and 23 reads, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus claims the attributes of God. God the Father, judgment, love, and the honor of God. Those who honor him will have eternal life. Those who reject his message truly dishonor God. But it is not up to us to say, well, you're dishonoring God, and you're dishonoring God, and you're dishonoring God. They will see God within you. They will hear God in your words. Psalm 2:10. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss the Son, Or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This psalm is used to keep hope alive after the exile. Jesus Christ would rule the righteousness and justice upon his life, upon his birth, after his birth. His rule would be for all nations and all people. We are encouraged to surrender our will, to be obedient to Jesus, to worship him. Jesus sees us as his own. Wow. When we become angry, and in my case, I was very impatient while I was waiting at the hospital and worried. When we become angry or impatient, or feel a little bit, that little tinge of unforgiving, unable to forgive someone, it becomes a bit more difficult to submit to Jesus. It becomes a little bit more difficult for us to bow in repentance. You are encouraged. You are encouraged to turn to him. He's waiting for you. He's waiting to hear your prayers. He will come to you in your time of need. He is with us. Kiss the Son, meaning recognize our place before Jesus. He will only deny us if we deny him. The psalmist leaves the choices to us. The choice to us to be broken or to be blessed. Those who are broken will sadly fall into deception. Sometimes those who are broken and tired will fall into deception, or broken and hungry will fall into deception. We need to turn in to Jesus and lean on him. We need to know that he is always with us. Rejoice in your relationship with him. Be affectionate in your relationship with him. Those who depend on him are blessed. The blessed will repent and submit and worship and enjoy the ruling of the Lord over their lives. Those who believe in him will have eternal life. Put first his words. Put first his words. Turn to the Bible. We each need to strive to be better and to do better to honor God. He is a sovereign God, the ruler supreme, the ultimate power. He's very powerful and he is indisputable. God works out his plan. And even though what he does not will for the good, even his works. Let me start. God works out his plan. He even works through what he does not will for the good of his children. What he does not will, he works through that for the good of his children. He will always have the final word. I am so thankful that I had him on my crazy day of helping my dad and getting my mom to the hospital in that emergency room. I am thankful that I had the time to pray for the children that came in who were so sick. I had the time to be there in the hospital and pray for the doctors who were overwhelmed. And of course, I am thankful that he was with my mom and that my mom could come home, and we're just going to chalk it up as a yucky experience and now let the healing begin. But there were moments. How do people do it without God? We are so blessed. Let us pray. Thank you that you hear us when we call out to you. In our times of waiting, may we never forget that you are always, always faithful. Be with those who feel the need to challenge you, Lord. Work in their lives so they may develop a relationship with you. Allow our relationships to grow with you. We are so thankful that your glory has spread throughout this world. Lord, your glory is throughout this world. People need to lean into you. You have the final word. And we are so blessed. In your name, amen.